summer. So please take advantage of that and help us out, particularly as Pastor Dave and I are coming and going a fair bit this summer. The announcements in the bulletin say that there will be a refugee family visit this week, but there will not this week. Allie Jacobs is having the boys over to her house for the day, and we anticipate they'll be quite tired and by the end of that day. Are there other announcements this morning? There is a box in the Hope Room this morning for our International Institute program that we are going to be part of again this year, this summer, of things that we need for that to make that program happen, with we think maybe up to 100 refugees joining us for that this summer. So if you would like to bring something to help out with that, or if you would like to bring yourself any of those days, please see Jenny, and Jenny will raise her hand. And next week after she gets back from Maine, she'll probably be more available on that. The International Institute class, the first week of August. You can also give me your names, and I'll make sure they get to the right people. So, any other announcements? Let us then give thanks for the gift of worship as we come in praise to listen, to hear God's voice and call to our lives. Come, let us worship God. Apostle Paul reminded the church at Colossae and reminds us as well that if we continue securely established and steadfast in the faith without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel, we will be reconciled through Christ to God. Let us confess our separation as we pray, first in silence, then in our prayer of confession found in the bulletin. Let us continue in prayer. Holy and merciful God, you have blessed us with minds to think, hearts to feel, and hands to reach. But we have been careless with your gift. We have thought only of ourselves. We have felt secure and smug, and we have reached out only feebly rather than in strength. Forgive us, we pray. Set in us the same mind that was in Christ Jesus. Break our hearts of stone and give us hearts for you alone, and guide our hands into the kingdom work you have placed before us. Humbly we pray these things. Amen. Remaining seated, let us sing together our song of confession, Create in Me, which you will find both as an insert and projected on the screen. Our Lord's gift is this: we are reconciled through his sacrifice for us, blameless and irreproachable before Christ. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Thank you.
Brendan.
This is a time in our worship service where we take a few moments and share together what's going on in our lives and in the lives of people we care about. We lift up prayers of joy and concern. I'm wondering what prayers are on your heart today that you'd like to share.
It was wonderful as our President Obama visited Ghana this weekend. It was so nice to see familiar places, marketplaces, and all the streets that we've known in Accra and Cape Coast. And we pray that our country continue to be the peaceful country that it is. And that was the reason why President Obama chose that out of the whole continent of Africa to visit. So our leaders will be good and great and govern with good spirit and great heart.
Thanks, Gladys. Giving thanks for a great visit by President Obama to Ghana, and prayers for continued growth of that country. Other prayers today? Yeah, let me go Jackie and then Jenny.
I'm going to go in the hospital tomorrow for total knee replacement surgery, so I'd ask you please pray for me and pray for my doctor. Thank you.
Praying for Jackie today and especially tomorrow as she goes in for knee replacement surgery. Thanks, Jackie. Thanks. Jenny's friend Dave dealing with leukemia. Thank you. Others? Yeah, Julie.
I have a joy that my brother's in very good spirits, but he's still battling lung cancer, so we need your continued prayers. Thank you.
Great. Prayers for Julie's brother Jim, still battling lung cancer. Others? Yeah, Susan. Welcome to Susan's dad, brother, and favorite nephew. Welcome. Other prayers? Yeah, Gladys.
Well, it's a joy to be here today. I've been doing a lot of work around my house, and today was a lot more laid back day because my helpers didn't show up, so it's a joy because that allowed me to be here. I want to share with you a news about a legislation that will allow the immigrant student to go to college, and this is not like people will go to college for free. They will have to pay in-state tuition. And Gracie, Representative Gracie, said that we have an opportunity to pass it this year, but we need to keep a lot of pressure on Gordon Franks. So for those of you who live on Gordon Franks District, please call him and ask him to support this legislation. I will have talking points. So if you want to sign up your name, after you can do that, and then I will send you email with talking points and more information about the legislation. So let's keep praying so that legislation will pass this year.
Gladys, raising up a prayer for immigrant students in our midst and an opportunity they may have to go to college. So we're praying for that. If you'd like more information, you can talk to Gladys afterwards. Other prayers? Penny is still at home and recovering and recuperating and will be released from the care of home visiting nurses after this week. So we look forward to seeing her back maybe next week and certainly beyond that. Others?
We hope she'll be released from the care of the visiting nurses next week. Let us pray. We give thanks, great God, that we know you through the power and life of our Lord Jesus Christ, constantly being revealed, challenging us to live as disciples in a needful world. We lift our prayers to you for those closest and those farthest from us. Guide our hearts and our minds into your spirit, that we might see you more clearly in these days, that we might experience your grace and challenge anew. We pray for all those who are ill in these days and in need of your healing touch. Touch them with your healing power as they go forth in faith. Our prayers continue for Penny and for Julie's brother Jim, for Jackie as she faces knee surgery tomorrow, for Jenny's friend Dave Huntington. Lord, you walk with those in all times and places. Even through the valley of the shadow of death, you walk. We pray for Carol Jean and John, now in hospice, for Stan, and give thanks for the resources of care that they have in these days. We pray, O Lord, for those who seek to serve you in big and small ways, for the work of Grace Diaz and so many in this community seeking to provide educational opportunity to those who have been nurtured and lived in this state, sometimes their whole lives. Be with them and help us to respond to that need. We pray this week for all those who are giving this week to Mission in Maine. Bless them and keep them as they travel and witness and see you in new ways in new places. We pray for our world, for leaders meeting around the world. We give thanks for the historic and too long coming trip of our president to Africa and for the visibility it gives to Ghana in their leadership and example on that continent. May you continue to guide and inspire that leadership as it has been such a witness to us in this week. We give thanks for a spirit of government that is not afraid to look at the hard questions. May you guide all who govern with wisdom, justice, and peace. We give thanks, O God, for adventures of travel and reunion for folk and family in these days, for Susan's family here in worship with her, for Andrew as he travels to India in this week. Enliven us to your presence, O God, near and far, as we live, love, and serve in your spirit, in the power of the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
I'd like to ask all the children to come forward. Come on down to the front row on this side over here. Right over on this side, guys. This side. Too many wires over here.
Thank you. morning. Our only reading testament, reading lesson is from the New Testament today, Acts chapter 17, verses 16 through 34, found in the Pew Bibles on page 129 and large print Bibles on page 167. Also projected by Philip on that screen. And I read, "While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was deeply distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he argued in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons, and also in the marketplace, every day with those who happened to be there. Also, some Epicurean and Stoic philosophers debated with him. Some said, 'What does this babbler want to say?' Others said, 'He seems to be a proclaimer of foreign divinities.' This was because he was telling the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. So they took him in and brought him to the Areopagus and asked him, 'May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? It sounds rather strange to us, so we would like to know what it means.' Now all the Athenians and the foreigners living there would spend their time in nothing but telling or hearing something new. Then Paul stood in front of Areopagus and said, 'Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, "To an unknown God." What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you: the God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of their places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him, though indeed he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of our own poets have said, for we too are his offspring. Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man who has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. When they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some scoffed, but others said, 'We will hear you again about this.' At that point, Paul left them. Some of them joined him and became believers, including Dionysius, the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The next hymn is in the Sing the Faith hymnal, number 2068, if you could stand and join us.
You
we begin today, let's pray. O God, we give you thanks for your word to us. We pray that as we hear your story, we might find our story in it. That as you speak to us through your word today, we might know more about who you are and who we are called to be. All of this we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, good morning. I have a very important question for you as we begin today, something I really want you to ponder. And it's this: what is the grossest thing you've ever eaten? I don't want to hear it because it's probably too gross, but think about it. What is the food that you've eaten that just turns your stomach? Or as soon as you put it in your mouth, you spit it out and say, oh no, there's something wrong with that food. Can you think of it? Can you think of what it might be for you? The food that you can't stand. I know I can think of that food for me. It's back when I was in the Peace Corps living in the Cape Verde Islands, I always tried to be open to the culture and to new experiences and especially to new foods. And I love Cape Verdean food. I eat it as often as I can, but there's one Cape Verdean dish that I hate. I can't stand it, and it's called sanfana. Have you ever heard of it before? Sanfana. It's a traditional dish, so it's not something they eat often. It's more of a special festival-type food, something that would be on a special occasion, even a delicacy. Sanfana is made from ground-up cornmeal mixed with goat's blood and cooked on an open fire. How does that sound? Delicious. Goat's blood and cornmeal cooked and served to you on a plate. Well, that was a situation that I faced. I was out in a small village at a festival, and someone handed me a plate full of sanfana. So I took my first bite, and I thought, you know, sanfana is really good at retaining the taste of goat's blood. It really comes through when you eat it. You really get a taste for that goat's blood. I know some people there love it and think it's great. I can't stand it. It turns my stomach even to think about it. And what can you do in that situation except sort of gulp down that bite and say something like, I appreciate your traditional foods. Are there any others I might try other than this? Well, believe it or not, this is not so far off from the experience of Paul that we read about today in the city of Athens in our Acts chapter 17 passage. Paul was there waiting for some friends, and as he waited, he decided to take a walk around the city. And as he walked, he looked, and everywhere he looked, he saw idols and temples and altars to the Greek gods. And it says that Paul was deeply distressed to see that the city was so full of idols. One Greek historian, a man named Xenophon, once said that the city of Athens was one great altar. It was one great sacrifice because of how many places of devotion and veneration there were. Some translators take this full of idols and say it could be rendered subsumed by idols, swamped by them, smothered in idols. That was Athens. That was the situation. And Paul is distressed by this. As a Jewish Christian, he had grown up hearing those words of the Ten Commandments, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. The story of the Old Testament is largely a story of God's constant call to people back to covenant faithfulness and away from other gods, away from idols. To say that Paul is distressed by these idols is a bit of an understatement. It might be a little bit like saying, you know, Dave likes sanfana, it's just not his favorite. I do not like sanfana. I can't stand sanfana. And Paul couldn't stand idols. The word that's used in Greek that says he was deeply distressed is the word paroxuneto. It's a word that has medical associations related to the term paroxysm, which is a kind of seizure or an epileptic fit. So listen to the beginning of our story again. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he had an epileptic fit or a seizure when he saw how the city was smothered and swamped by idols. Now we're getting a picture of what Paul was feeling. Now we're getting a sense of what he had to overcome in order to reach those people with a message of Christ. We're seeing how important it was for Paul to engage with the culture, so important that he even overcame his gag reflex and tried to see the best in their culture rather than the worst. The culture of Athens was intellectual and it was philosophical. It was associated with the tradition of Socrates and Aristotle and Plato, the great philosophical schools like the Academy, the Lyceum, the Garden, and the Porch still operated there, and philosophers, or lovers of wisdom, gathered to debate questions of religion, morality, truth. So it was some of these philosophers who met Paul while he was speaking in the marketplace, in the public arena where everyone mixed and mingled. And they thought he was some kind of babbler at first, unsure of what this talk about Jesus and the resurrection was all about. But they were intrigued and wanted to know more, so they invited him to come and speak to their whole assembly at a place called the Areopagus, also known as Mars Hill. But why should Paul go up to Mars Hill? Why should he go up there and explain himself to those pagan philosophers? Why should he go and talk to people who have such different beliefs from him? This is one of the key questions that this story asks us to ask. It's one of the questions that has been asked throughout the history of the Christian church. Why should Paul go to Mars Hill? And I want to suggest three answers for us today. The first way of answering this question, a way that has been posited, is encapsulated in something that one of the early church fathers, a man named Tertullian, once said. He famously asked, "What does Athens have to do with Jerusalem, or the Academy with the church?" Tertullian's view is that Christian faith has nothing to do with the philosophies and belief systems of the world. From this perspective, the best way for a Christian to be in the world is really to be out of the world, separated, apart. Should Paul go up to Mars Hill and talk philosophy with the pagans? His answer is no. They've got nothing in common. And that's a kind of extreme view that grows out of a feeling that we might actually share. The sense that sometimes the world around us can be hostile or negative toward people of faith. Sometimes it can feel like maybe we'd be better off going our separate ways. But then on the other hand, Paul looked around the city and saw how smothered it was, swamped with idols, another possible response to that pervading culture that he sees is not to reject it, but to be consumed by it, to be smothered by it like those idols. Let's call this the tofu approach. Can you follow me? As you know, tofu takes on the flavor of whatever it's cooked with, doesn't it? It has no flavor of its own. It's submerged and saturated by the foods that surround it. According to this way of thinking, the Christian church is no different, really, than any other civic institution like the public library or the Lions Club. So should Paul go up and talk philosophy with the pagans? Sure, why not? There's no difference between him and them. There's no difference in their message. There's nothing distinctive or zesty about tofu. There's nothing distinctive or zesty about Paul's message. They've got everything in common. In our Ash Wednesday service last spring, we were considering the temptations of Jesus. And something that Henry Nouwen writes about is the temptation to be relevant. And isn't that the way we can feel sometimes? That we need to be just like the culture around us, thinking and speaking and acting just the same so that we can be relevant. The danger here is that as we do so, we can also become indistinguishable from it, from the culture and its values. We might become like tofu. Tofu tastes just like the food around it. It doesn't add any taste. But Jesus, remember, once told his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth. You are bringing salt to a dish that needs it." You're adding tanginess and taste to the culture around you. You're not just meant to sop up the flavor, you're meant to affect and enhance the flavor. So now we're getting somewhere, aren't we? On the one hand, we have Tertullian and his retreat from the world and its ideas. On the other, we have tofu, which has no distinctive gospel taste. And here, finally, we reach Paul's way, Paul's view about all of these things. He seeks to engage the culture from a Christian worldview. Paul wants to engage the culture from a distinctly Christian worldview. Should Paul go up to Mars Hill and talk philosophy with the pagans? Absolutely. Because he wants to engage their culture, to take it seriously, to see it at its best. And while doing that, to add the distinctive zest of his faith. Paul begins his speech on Mars Hill by pointing out the good that he sees around him in their culture. After seeing all these idols and altars around the city, he tells them, "I can see how religious you are. You know, a little flattery never hurt to win over a crowd." Paul knows that. By the way, you're looking great this morning. Have you lost weight? We can imagine it as if Paul were to visit Washington, D.C. and go to the Lincoln Memorial and the Washington Monument and the Vietnam War Memorial, and he'd come away and say, "I can see how very patriotic you are." Or if he went to New York City and visited Wall Street and saw those corporate headquarters and went to those shopping centers, he might come away and say, "I see how very financially savvy you are." Or maybe as if Paul were to come to the Northeast and tour all around this area and come away and say, "I can see how very loyal you are to Dunkin' Donuts." It could be like that. He's looking for the thing that he can affirm, the thing that he can connect with, the thing that's virtuous and good about their culture, and he's lifting it up. And only then, once he has earned the right to be heard, is he able to speak about faith in Christ, about the resurrection, about the call to a different kind of life. It's so interesting that in his speech, Paul quotes those pagan philosophers and poets. Clearly, he's familiar with them. He's conversant in the important topics and themes of the day. It's not as if he's entering enemy territory. This is home territory. It's like Psalm 24 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." Everything. The academy, philosophy, poetry, beauty, wonder, questions, answers, the New York Times, Fox News, Biology 101, everything. The earth is the Lord's and everything is in it, from the classroom to the boardroom. All of these are in God's world. And we're invited to engage with it. Not like lumps of tofu who have nothing to offer, but as active agents, as salt of the earth. I sat down last night at a wedding next to a young woman, and she asked me what I do. So I told her I was a race car driver. So I told her that I was a pastor, and she said, "Oh, what kinds of crazy things do people say to you when they find out you're a pastor or ask you about? Tell me so I'll know not to say those things." And I was thinking about it a little bit. And there is a kind of filter, I think, that Pastor Chris and I have when we're around people who happen to know that we're pastors. A little bit of a guard goes up, or something will be said and they'll say, "Oh, but no offense, Pastor." Oh, none taken, thank you. Things change a little bit. It's hard for pastors to operate on Mars Hill. You know, that's where you come in. Because you live on Mars Hill. You work on Mars Hill. You socialize and network and move in and among people who have worldviews and ways of seeing things completely different from you, but you interact every day, easily, naturally, without the guard. What an opportunity that is. Of course, not everyone will be interested. Remember at the end of Paul's speech what it says. After hearing it, some mocked, some scoffed. They didn't want anything to do with what he was talking about. But then others said, "We'll hear you again on this topic." They're interested, open to more conversation. and then others. In particular, a guy named Dionysius and a woman named Damaris joined Paul and became believers. So, should Paul go up to Mars Hill and talk philosophy with the pagans? Should you, as you leave here today, go out into the Mars Hill culture that's all around you and talk philosophy, talk life, talk love with the people whose views are different from your own, but who might have a point of contact? Is it worth it? Dionysius and Damaris, those two who Paul met, would say yes. And I wonder who else is out there waiting. Who else is out there hoping to have a conversation with a person just like you? What does Athens have to do with Jerusalem, or the academy to do with the church? Let's go find out. Amen.
Okay, will you stand and join me in the affirmation of faith? It's found in your bulletin. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body is joined and knit together. The Christian church is the congregation of the brethren in which Jesus Christ acts presently as the Lord in word and sacrament through the Holy Spirit. As the church of hardened sinners, it has to testify in the midst of a sinful world, with its faith as with its obedience, with its message as with its order, that it is solely His property, and that it lives and wants to live solely from His comfort and from His direction in the expectation of His appearance. Thank you.
We'd like to call forward the members of the Mission to Maine trip that are leaving this afternoon to be in mission together. So all of you, will you please come forward?
There.
Let's go here, aside from the...
All right.
I believe we are missing one member who is going to be joining us in a little bit, Meg Walker, who we will also commission, and Glenn Ramsey, who I think is preaching elsewhere this morning, right? So we will commission them all together.
we have been blessed, and so we are given the blessing also to give back.
God with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. I will enter his gate with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his court with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will enter his gate with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his court with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. 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 I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. 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 I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Amen.
Thank you.
courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all persons. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of His Spirit. And may the blessings of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain within you, both now and forevermore.